Mayor Reynolds is participating in that discussion. Moving on to the approval of the minutes for the December 17, 2024 minutes. Any comments on minutes? Minutes stand approved. Moving on to public comment for our first public comment. This is for any subject that is not being voted on this evening. We have three individuals signed up in advance. We'll start with Mr. Harry Faber. I will remind everyone about our 5-minute time limit. Excuse me. And also, if you don't mind stating your name for the record for our city clerk. Thank you.
Harry Faber. Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. I hope your holidays were splendid. 2024 sure was something, huh? In 2024, Israel killed an average of 41 children per day. Can you imagine that? 41 children. A study came out in December titled, Needs Study, Impact of War in Gaza on Children with Vulnerabilities and Families. It was conducted by the Community Training Center for Crisis Management in Gaza, and the findings broke my heart. One, here are the facts. One, 79% of the children in Gaza suffer from nightmares. 79%. 87% of them experience severe fear. 38% report bedwetting. 49% of caregivers said that their children believed they would die in the war. And five, 96% of the children in Gaza felt that death was imminent. Put simply, every child in Gaza believes they are going to die. In 2024, I told you guys to be a little revolutionary more times than I can count. I figured since some of you guys are fellow Greyhounds like myself, maybe it meant something to you like it meant to me. You know, I chose it to mean something. And although we all didn't go to Moravian, we all do live in historic Bethlehem. Did I miss the meeting where we decided to stop being historic? I can list the history. Moravian University was founded in 1742. We were the first college ever, well, Moravian College at the time, was the first college ever to educate women in America, as well as the first college to educate Native Americans in their own language. That's what they claim. Lehigh was founded in 1865, over a century later. The historic Bethlehem Steel was founded in 1857 until its bankruptcy in 1995. The historic Hotel Bethlehem, which I worked at for a little over 3 years, celebrated its 100-year anniversary a few years back in 22 because it opened in 1922. Are we done with all that? Are we done being historic? Is our history over? Of course not. It's a crazy question. It's ludicrous. History is happening every day. So I'm asking you, City Council, make some history. Start the new year off right. Every meeting I came to last year, every meeting, I spoke about this genocide. And I'm asking you, I'm not even asking for a ceasefire resolution, which I would love, and you guys did promise back in February. Condemn the genocide being funded by our country, by our government. Demand that our finite, limited resources be spent on us instead of on genocide, on death, and destruction. As Howard Zinn said, you can't be neutral on a moving train. And I'm saying right now, you can't be neutral when you witness genocide.
Thank you, Mr. Faber. Next speaker this evening is Joe Daniels.
Everyone, Happy New Year. I'm a little unprepared today, but I'm going to try and speak off the cuff as much as possible. So my topic today is the South Side of Bethlehem, primarily how the South Side of Bethlehem has deteriorated since my time in my home, which has been over 50 years now. I live on Broadway, one of the main streets in Bethlehem, so I've seen all of the changes over the years. And I've mentioned this before. To be honest with you, you know, the South Side gets a bad rap because of the way it looks, primarily. It's not as nearly as bad as people think. But because of the way the South Side looks, the appearance of the South Side, people automatically associate it with high crime, drugs, things of that nature. And yes, we have issues, like all cities and neighborhoods have, but it's not as bad as people think. And unfortunately, I'm going to put the blame of the aesthetics of the South Side on the city. I'm doing this in large part because, again, as I mentioned this in previous meetings, you have a number of ordinances that are not being enacted. a number of them. Everything from weeds to snow to garbage to painting of the properties to not having furniture on your front porches. Everything possible, there's an ordinance for it, that you cannot do it. Yet, these ordinances are overlooked. Nobody is doing anything. And I'm only speaking of the South Side because that's where I live, that's what I see every day. It's very upsetting that this has been taking place for well over my lifetime. And again, I know this because I've grown up in that same house. I'm 57 years old. I moved into that house with my mom and dad when they got married when I was 5 years old. So I've been there for quite a while. And nothing's gotten better as far as the residents are concerned. Everything's gotten worse. Business-wise, everything's booming with the businesses. They have pretty storefronts and this, that, and the other, and they have the nice brick-lined sidewalks, and everything's crisp and clean with the businesses. But with the residents, with the homeowners, and the slumlords specifically, they're not, and I'm tired of it. Not only is it bringing down property value that I would love to see increase, but it's bringing down the morale of those that want a better neighborhood and are not getting it. I walked my dog the other day and almost busted my behind on a rental property because it was not shoveled. No salt thrown out or anything. And this is every other house going down Broadway. I know there was talk at one point about someone driving around and doing like a ticket type thing. Why that hasn't come to fruition, I don't know. Is it budget? Probably. And this is where this piece comes in. So you guys are getting $52,000-some-odd for every unit that's not being deemed affordable housing with all these new properties going up, all these new apartment buildings going up. And I understand that's earmarked for the other new property that you plan on putting up on 4th Street, where the Facility Fuel was. Fantastic. I understand a portion of that is going to be affordable housing. Fantastic. But some of that money needs to be earmarked to take care of the residents, both homeowners and tenants, that have unfortunately no other choice but to live in these slumlord buildings that are not being handled properly on the inspection side, which is another issue. Something needs to be done. I don't care if you send out a mailing to everyone, giving them a 60-90-day notice to get their properties up to snuff, or they're going to start getting cited. I know people can't afford a lot of things, I understand this, but something has to happen. I'm tired of walking down the street, seeing garbage everywhere, which is another ordinance, that for every occupant within a rental, there's to be a 32-gallon trash can. That's not the case. Angela Mitchell would speak on trash all the time. You go down Broadway, again, Broadway, catty corner from the TD Bank there, there's a red building. Any time of the day, any day of the week, trash lined up the side of the building. They probably have 8 to 10 trash cans there, which is not enough. So there's trash everywhere. And I'm just tired of it, guys. I love my home, I love my neighborhood, but I'm tired of the way that people are not being held accountable for the way they keep their properties. I'm tired of these slumlords getting away with just too much crap. And I really need you guys to do something about it, finally. First and foremost, something has got to be done. It's ridiculous at this point. It makes no sense. Don't have these ordinances on the books if you're not going to enact them. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Daniels. If anyone was looking for seats, there's a few over here. If you want to sit down, it's up to you. To anyone who just joined us, we're currently in our public comment for anything not being voted on this evening. Our final person who had previously signed up, Mark Will Weber.
Happy New Year, Council. Mark Will Weber, 66 West Elizabeth Avenue. I'm representing the DRIP, the Water and Sewer Advocate Citizens Group. And I just wanted to relate an anecdotal story. About a week before Christmas, I went to the dentist, okay? And the woman that works at reception there, she'd been there probably 30 years. She was there with the previous dentist, the new dentist is bought, and she's still there. And as I was leaving, she goes to me, "Hey, whatever happened with that water thing?" she says to me. So I stopped and I filled her in on the latest stuff and Jean McNeil's bill that she's trying to get through, the red flag alert, which would be a great benefit, I think, to every citizen in this city. And at one point she says to me, "Well, how much money did you end up paying?" I said, "Well, it was close to $600 when it was all said and done." And her mouth dropped open, and her jaw went slack, and she said, I would have had a heart attack if that happened to me. Now, that "I'm going to have a heart attack" phrase is bandied about pretty gratuitously. You almost hit deer on Center Street, and you say, "I almost had a heart attack," or "the Eagles fumble on Sunday on the goal line," where 80% of the fans are going to have a heart attack. So I kind of looked at her, and she goes, "Well, there's no way I could have paid that." And I said, "No, I understand." And then I saw something else in her face. I saw a brief flash of what I would say was fear, and I could see her wheels turning, and how would she have paid for it? And being the way that I am, I, of course, resorted to some dark, cynical humor about it. And I said, "Don't worry, I said, if it did happen to you, the Dublin sewer people would love to put you on a payment plan." And she said, "Payment plan? Are you kidding me?" I said, "No, I'm not kidding you. That's what they do if you can't pay. They let you string out the financial burden over a year or two, and the humility and all the other side effects, the emotional strain that comes with it." And she just shook her head, and the look of fear was gone, and she looked disgusted, and so on and so forth. And I said, "Well, it's not a pleasant process, and I hope it never happens to you." But as I left, I thought, this is exactly the kind of person that should be protected with Jean McNeil's red flag law. And my fear is, and I talked to Jean recently, is that it may not ever get to the point where Harrisburg looks at it, because there's so many bills that come up and they only select a few. So it might not even get selected. It's got a ton of support from Democratic state reps in our area, almost all of them. But I also fear the Republicans may shoot it down, because how things are with they don't want to give the Dems a win on this thing. Although I can't think of anything more that should be bipartisan than protecting your citizens from these mega water and sewer bills that avalanche people. And that's what Gene's hoping to do. But you'd be surprised, though. You dig into it, and some of those Republican, and not exclusively Republicans, but some of the state reps are getting, guess what? They're getting water money from the big water companies, not the municipal ones, but the private for-profit. They're giving to their campaigns. How do you think those guys are going to vote? So the likelihood of a Gene's bill passing, I don't know. But my point is, and I think council, if you really care about the people you're representing, should push the city here to enact that red flag alert, regardless of whether it gets passed or sees the light of day in Harrisburg. That would be the right thing to do. If the impetus between is to save water, not to waste water, they should be on board with that. They come in after a month and say something's wrong here. And the citizen wouldn't get socked for 3 months, which is how it is now. So it should be win-win for everybody, right? And they have the technology to do it, but do they have the will to do it? Or do they just, if they don't want to do it, if they don't want to save water, then you can only conclude that they'd rather have the penalty fees. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weber. So that concludes our list of who has signed up in advance. So now, I'll go around the room if there's anyone else who wants to make comment. Again, this is anything that we're not voting on this evening. Was there anyone to the left who wanted to make comment on anything that we're not voting on tonight? I turn to the wide center. I'll start in the very back row and work my way forward.
My name is Kathy Orndug. I live at 528 North New Street, which is a block and a half from here. And parked the car in the rear of the building, and my car's been shot. This is not the first time. This is history for historic Bethlehem for you. This is not the first time. In August of 2023, there was a shooting at Long and East Walnut, and now my car's been shot, and I've had a 380 round pulled out of my dashboard. I have a hole in my door. Which leads me to my other business with the housing here. I'm pretty sure that I'm paying more in rent than at least a couple of you are paying for your mortgages. I pay $1,770 a month to have 725 square feet and a parking space for my car to get shot. I'm a one-income household. I'm a widow. I'm from Allentown and Emmaus. And when I had the opportunity to live here, I thought, wow. I've lived down in Georgia. There's no place down in Georgia that's like historic Bethlehem. Let me tell you how special this place really is. So here's my concerns. With Moravian Academy a half block away, a couple just moved into my building. They're having a baby in March. I've had several talks with the management company that owns the building in Northern Jersey, and they just want me to keep them posted. And I have an ongoing investigation, a detective that's working really hard, and I don't know if we're ever going to get an answer. I can't get this guy. And believe me, I want to know who this dirtbag did that did this to my car. I work hard. I love my car. I've worked so hard to have the things that I had. I've been homeless in my life. 25 years. I really worked hard to come out on top, and now I'm dealing with this, and I'm really concerned about my neighbors. I'm really concerned for the children at Moravian Academy. Parking authority officers. Guests at the Democratic Club, club members at the Democratic Club. The granola factory, right behind me. Which is doing well. I don't know if you've been over to Wegmans at Christmas time. They're selling kibbles for them now. So there's a business behind me that's really working hard to do good things in the community. So I'm doing the only other thing I know that I can do, being Irish. Once we have a cause, we don't back down. And if I can't get this guy and find out who he is, I'm going to come into City Hall and make sure everybody here knows I'm looking for him, and I want the community to pull together and try to help the police department do the best that they can to serve the community. I think they need a lot of help. I see a lot of what goes on in Bethlehem outside my kitchen window. A lot. And it's a lot of important people moving through my community every day. And I don't want to see anybody get hurt, especially children. I wonder if any of these parents are aware of what's going on at Moravian Academy at night. Thank you for your time. Have a nice evening.
Thank you, Ms. Wondar. Thank you for coming out. Our Chief of Police, Chief Codd, is here. I'm glad to hear you said the police are already involved in it. If you wanted to stick around for after the meeting and talk to any council members individually, you're welcome to. Our individual contact information is on the city website. If you wanted to speak with any of us individually also. It doesn't have to be a council meeting. It could be anything.
Hello, Happy New Year. My name is Catherine Grasso. I'm a resident of Bethlehem. I've lived here for about 10 years, and it has become my home. I love this city. I also work at DeSales University. I'm a professor in communication studies. The reason I'm here is because I am interested in serving the city in some capacity on the authorities, boards, or commission. I'm particularly interested in planning and zoning, but I would be open to learning about and becoming involved in other things as well. A few days ago, I sent my resume to the city clerk, and hopefully it's been passed along to each of you to take a look at, but I just thought I would come so you had a face with the name, and I really want to get involved, so I'm hopeful about future conversations with all of you about how I can be helpful in serving the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Preston. Thanks for coming out. Anyone else in the Wide Center who wants to make a comment this evening? Sorry, Ms. McCool.
Don't get old. Happy New Year. Mary Jo McCool, 449 Grandview Boulevard. At the last meeting, the issue at the intersections of Pennsylvania Avenue, Union Boulevard, Eaton Avenue was addressed. I was pleased to see the situation has been resolved. I also brought up the situation involving Club Avenue, Eaton Avenue, Hanover Avenue, and West Broad Street. My understanding was that Bethlehem was working with Allentown and PennDOT to devise a plan. On January 1st at approximately 5:15 a.m., I was awakened and noticed numerous emergency vehicles from Allentown in that area. Another apparent accident, I believe a photo showing the pole, was sent to the city representative, if not, Terry has one. The pole was basically snapped in half. From the angle I saw, the vehicle had to be traveling from Bethlehem to Allentown. My guess is that Bethlehem, while looking at the situation, probably won't proceed until the developer submits plans for the former Bennett car dealership. Hopefully there will be no fatalities in that area in the meantime. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McCool. Ms. Clay.
The picture. Sorry, I only have one.
That's right.
Terry Koiber, Grandview Boulevard, Bethlehem. It's good to be back. I've been out for a month and a half with foot surgery, so I've missed you all. But what I wanted to talk about tonight, in addition to that, I mean, I'm sure hoping it doesn't take a fatality till something's done, building or no building on the Bennett lot. But back in February 2023, almost 2 years ago, I wrote this letter to our lawyer. Hi, I just wanted to let you know that I did inform Dwayne Wagner on Friday morning, February 24, 2023, that we did not want to meet with him and Norton Herrick. Just to give you, so you all know, this is in regard to Bennett's lot, the building that's going to go on, and how we've been fighting this. And how some people have said it's really nice that the builders talk to the neighbors and whatnot. So anyway, so how we did not want to meet with him and Norton Herrick on Saturday. In talking with Paul and Mary Jo, we were just not comfortable with that. At around 1 p.m. Friday, February 24, I received a call from Norton Herrick himself. He is the developer, wanting to see if we were sure we didn't want to meet with them. He said they just wanted to present ideas to make things better, i.e. flowers, shrubs, etc. And that we didn't have to speak, just listen to their ideas. One of the things he told me, that after talking to the mayor, he said that the mayor wanted him to put affordable housing in there. Then he asked me in a very condescending voice, do you want affordable housing in there? I said, we just want three stories, no higher, as that is what our neighborhood is. Our whole neighborhood is two-story except for one little set of townhouses which go like 2.5 to 3 stories. He said he's not breaking any laws by going 5 stories, and if I wanted to blame someone for that, I should go after the Zoning Commission, as they are the ones who zoned that. Now I know that, but that doesn't mean he has to go 5 stories, to which he said he has a lot of money invested in this. And I said, that's what you're all about, the money, and we are all about preserving the health of our neighborhood. I was very uncomfortable speaking with him and told him that it's not just me in the neighborhood, there are a lot of others. So it's not fair to everyone else for me to have this conversation with him. He said he's only ever done this with maybe 3 other people, Am I supposed to feel special that he wants to talk to us? I feel he got a little testy towards the end of the phone call, maybe because I didn't want to meet with him. I also do not feel he was telling the truth in that he wants to make things better for us, because his thoughts are all seeming to be superficial, i.e. flowers. That's not going to block that ugly building from our backyards. So I just thought you should know, this was again to my lawyer, I just thought you should know both Duane and Norton Herrick contacted me. I do not feel that either of them cares about us neighbors and are only looking for what they can get for themselves and their project. So the only reason I wanted to bring this up, I happened to come across this email, and I just wanted to remind you all that we are still fighting this tooth and nail, heart and soul. There was a hearing that we're waiting to hear on that our lawyer is fighting with the judge from, or I'm not even sure. He's fighting the commercial part of it because they're saying that they don't have to have commercial, and we want them to say it's a commercial lot, you need commercial in there. And I know Bethlehem's lawyer is also fighting for the 180 foot length that he wants to exceed. So I just want to kind of refresh you all that this is still very near and dear to us in the neighborhood. We walk around and we see, you can see the skyline. And to throw that in there, I don't know what legally we can do to fight it other than what we are, but I just wanted to kind of just remind you all we're fighting for the health of our neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Quick. Mr. Shire.
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. I think the city must have turned the heat off at 5 o'clock again. About the so-called Hanover apartments, I can add one little fact to that. Some of the people in council already know this, but we met with the council members individually, one at a time. And they weren't allowed to bring anybody with them. But he had his number two there, so it was two against one. Just gamesmanship. And about this commercial business, it is presently zoned limited commercial, which has a 5-story limit. That's true. And they wanted to be excused from having to have commercial. The ordinance says that any multifamily housing has to be in the building with the commercial. They wanted to be excused from the commercial, which was granted by the friendly zoning hearing board. And their interpretation of that is that they can have 5 stories of housing anywhere on the property. Well, it would be equally logical to say that, and I want to read the decision again very closely, if the commercial was removed, which it was, but if the restriction is still there, then if you have to have, only can have multifamily housing in the building with commercial, and if there's no commercial, then you can't have any multifamily housing. This is, I'm certain, would be an argument made at the Court of Appeals. About Broad Street, I've talked about that before, and it's worth noting perhaps it is a high-speed corridor. As I told you twice, I've been going the speed limit of 35 miles per hour, and I've been passed on the left. There's no stop signs or traffic lights between 8th Avenue and Pennsylvania Avenue. That's a distance of almost a mile, if not a mile. And it's good that the city planning department is working towards some, shall we say, traffic calming on there. I think a good, perhaps, but expensive traffic calming would be to have a median with trees like there is on Pennsylvania Avenue. Of course, that's another problem, but that's a different one. And about the lady from North New Street, There was a, and the chief would know this, if the Black Watch at in Steve Samuelson's office, on that, almost on the corner of Broad and Center, if that Black Watch is still functioning, maybe that would be something that could be tried. And finally, I would like to make sure everybody knows a piece of good news on the development of front, and there's been very little of that recently. In Friday's morning call, there was an article reviewing development in Bethlehem, and apparently the main basis of it was an interview with Don Cunningham. But in one little paragraph here, German pharmaceutical company GFN Bremen acquired the former IQE building at 119 Technology Drive, where a developer earlier wanted to build apartments. GFM plans to put its U.S. headquarters and operations center there. And this request for apartments, as you may recall, was turned down twice by the previous council, and perhaps the present council was involved in one of them. So a good piece of development news. In other words, it's same old, same old. Penchant for overdevelopment. I've twice made references to Little Manhattan on the Lehigh, which some people seem to want. I understand that LehighValleyNews.com has a bunch of newsletters, and one of them is called The Little Apple. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Is there anyone else in the Wide Center who would like to make comment who has not had a chance to yet? Is there anyone to the right who wants to make comment? That's going to conclude our first public comment. We're going to move on to the second public comment, which is reserved for comment on any ordinance or resolution that we're voting on tonight. No one had signed up in advance, so again, I'll go around the room if you want to make comment on something council is going to vote on. Is there anyone to the left who wants to make comment? Again, I turn to the Wide Center. Mr. Schein.
Just a short comment on the proposed contract with Artifact Incorporated. The CEO, as perhaps everyone knows, is Christine Usler, who used to be the historic officer for the city. Just want to mention, she even knows about the paints that were used in the Revolutionary War. Thank you.
Good to know. Thank you, Mr. Schein. Is there anyone else in the Wide Center who wants to make comment? And again, I turn to the right. Thank you, everybody who came out tonight. We're going to move on through the agenda. Old business, any old business for members of council? Any old business? New business, any new business for members of council? I'll work my way down. I'll start with Councilman Quiatek.
Thanks. I actually just wanted to say thank you to everybody who came out to speak tonight, especially folks who've never spoken before. I really appreciate that. With regard to the situation behind your house, your apartment on U Street, ma'am, it does sound like it's related to something that we've heard about before, and we've received concerned communications from other residents. And so, Chief Cott, could you offer any update on what's going on with that, what seems to be a nuisance property or situation?
So the Liquor Control Board has yet to do a ruling yet. They had the hearing. We are anxiously awaiting the outcome of that hearing. We continue to provide a presence in the area whenever possible, when personnel power as well as call volume allow us. But, you know, we are listening to the residents. We are providing an increase in our regular presence, especially on Saturday evenings in the early morning hours into Sunday. That has seemed to help the past two weekends. We do have a detective that is actively working on Miss Kathy's case the best that he can, and we really do need the community to come together to help us. That is the best course of action to have any positive solution from this issue that we're experiencing.
Okay.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Artifact Incorporated to conduct historic site reviews as necessary. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Grimes Smith.
Discussion. Call the roll.
Ms. Kubitschek.
Ms. Council.
I just had a question, I guess, for Ms. Collins. Can you just explain this a little further? Because I'm just wondering, first of all, what type of properties, and is this new that we need to contract with historic preservation specialists, or what, is this a new mandate from the state?
This is not new. We have had somebody under contract for as long as I've been here, and I think for a while before. So predominantly with our CDBG funding, but also with now with other federal funding that we've been receiving as well, there are federal requirements for a specific type of environmental review on any projects that are receiving federal funding. And so we contract with Artifact and Christine Essler, who's, I think, pretty well known in the historic community here, to do those historic reviews. So that would be any project that is funded by CDBG, whether it's a city project or a subrecipient, for example, the community project funding dollars that we're receiving from the federal government for the Bethlehem Food Co-op or the Greenway or Friendship Park, all of those projects that have the federal dollars require this specific type of historic review.
And so, just so I'm clear, so did we have a contract with another entity before Artifact, or with, did Artifact, did we have a contract with them previously and we're just continuing it?
Correct. We had Artifact had been doing this work previously and it expired. So we are now renewing. We're entering a new two-year contract with 2 1-year renewal options.
Right. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Thank you, Ms. Collins.
Ms. Kubitschek.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Callahan.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
And Ms. Colon.
Aye. Passes 7-0. And our last resolution, 10D.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, is hereby granted for 117 East 4th Street to install 2 signs on the front facade of the building. 1 wall sign and 1 with dimensional letters mounted on the entrance canopy. Resolutions are sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Any discussion on the certificate of appropriateness? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kubitschek.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Callahan.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passes 7-0. That concludes the first meeting of the new year. Get home safely, everyone. This meeting is adjourned.
8.